reach our show, the Lee's Air Hotline. The way to reach our show, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show. We also have the Lee's Air Weather Check right at the top of the show as well. I would say unseasonably 82 degrees today here in the start of November. 82 degrees tapping out there. We're going to get some clouds moving in. We're going to start getting some cooler temps by the middle of the week next week. Looking at 76 tomorrow, looking at 75 Wednesday, and then hello rain. It's here. 62 degrees Thursday, 61 Friday, 61 Saturday. We could be maybe only topping out to the high 50s by next week this time. So my short sleeve and short weather wear is not, I would say, applicable to what will be next week in terms of the weather, considering. We are going to be here for the next 2 hours, like I said, talking about Fresno State, talking about the NFL. We'll have the Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice of the weekend as well, and some other conversations and topics as we get you set for Monday Night Football. Excuse me. Well, it is Monday, which means we're excited to be talking all kinds of sports. Of course, all the things I want to talk about today. And we got Jorge, who's here as well, who I want to talk sports with as well. And I always have this question on the top of my mind every time we come back from the weekend. I ask Jorge, how was your weekend and how was your weekend this weekend, Jorge?
Hey there, Phil. It was pretty good. Pretty good. I enjoyed it. Had some mishaps with my dryer.
Dryer mishaps?
And I thought I fixed it, you know, because I'm a man and I can fix things.
Yeah.
I just made it worse.
Then you made it worse? How'd you make it worse?
Let's just say I had, like, extra screws at the end of it.
Okay.
Like, they had, like, 3 or 4 extra screws. And I'm like, where did this go? And
yeah.
Okay, well, let's just not worry about this anymore.
Do you have dry clothes now, or did you?
No, I did, yeah. Okay. I had to get up a little bit early today to go to the laundromat and dry them there.
You washed your clothes, and then you had to go to the laundromat later to dry your clothes that did not dry over?
Well, I had already washed my clothes in, like, a night.
Yeah.
And then our dryer kind of just gave out.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So then didn't,
that's
yeah.
rough. That's rough. So you in the market for a new dryer? Or are you trying to fix it still? Or?
Yeah. My roommates hated it anyway, so.
It's a good riddance. Kind of. Yeah. We had the same situation in my house. Our dryer just suddenly stopped drying clothes. It was just like, it got really hot, but the clothes, like, never dried. And I thought it was, like, the tube and whatever that took out all the air and, like, it got clogged. But apparently that wasn't it. It just gave up. It just gave up after a certain while.
It happens. I don't know why. But, yeah.
You know the conspiracy theory, right? The manufacturers just put, like, a little device in your thing so you suddenly it just gives out. And then you have to buy a new one. You know?
It's like the old... This was a second hand. We bought it off of somebody else. So
oh, you think someone else sabotaged it, maybe? I don't know.
No, nah, it's just old. It was just old.
Well, I heard you went out this weekend, Jorge.
I saw Asa.
You saw Asa, yes. Asa at a show. We'll have Asa tomorrow. You saw him at Goldstein's over the weekend.
Right. I had a long time. I haven't been to Goldstein's. And a buddy of mine asked me if we wanted to go. And, yeah, I went with my roommate and a couple other friends.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was fun. And I heard some ska playing. And, like, you know, I was outside and inside it.
Okay.
Was playing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, this is cool.
Good ska.
I like this.
Which is good for if Ace is listening. Hey, there you go.
Then I went inside, and then I'm like, okay, we were walking out, but we were walking out to the front door. And I saw, yeah, it looks so familiar to me. It sounds so familiar. And then there he was.
There he was. And what was the first instinct you had?
I immediately asked for Freebird. Immediately, I yelled at him, Freebird.
He yelled expletives back. I'm sure. Things that we can't say on the radio. We'll rehash. I want to rehash that tomorrow with Ace if we get a chance. But it's great. Great stuff. I was at Taco Truck Throwdown over on Saturday. Big shout out to the Grizzlies and Johnny Bravo for putting on yet another great event. It was fantastic. They had wrestlers, like, what do you call them? You're not called luchadors. They're what are they called? The Mexican wrestlers.
Yeah, they're luchadores.
Is that luchador? Yeah, that's what they are.
Luchadores.
So they had luchadores and luchadoras. Is that like women and men or?
No, they're just all they're like all around.
Because they had women and men fighting, and it was all kind of crazy.
They have the little guys.
They did have the little guys.
That's awesome. I love that. I love watching them.
So every time,
crazy.
Yeah, dude, he was like jumping over a guy, and then like they were throwing chairs, and I was like, oh my god, this is crazy. I love it. Got a few tacos in me. My favorite part of the taco truck throwdown wasn't the tacos though, Jorge. I'm telling you, the salsa. The salsa you can try at this event. They do the salsa contest, and I'm telling you, I am a connoisseur of food. It doesn't take much noticing to know that in terms of it. But I love me some good salsa. And, Jorge, I'll tell you, I went up to the guy, one of the vendors, and he said, we got medium and we got hot. And I immediately said, well, give me hot. And being who I am, he didn't really agree with my decision, Jorge, in some form of say. He was like, are you sure about that? And I said, I'm very sure. And he proceeded to pour. He gave me the medium salsa. Then he said, all right, I'm going to pour you the hot salsa on top. Really delicious salsa. I handled it very well. My brother, on the other hand, dying all night, actually to the point where it was, it gave him some. Residual effects afterwards.
Yeah.
So that was going on. But I'm proud to say I could handle my spice. And
I like my
salsa hot. I like my salsa hot.
Nice.
Yeah. There were some interesting ones out there. Interesting salsas. But I think they ended up winning. Shout out Miguel's. I don't know. Miguel's salsa. Yeah.
I think that's who it was.
Yeah, that's who it was.
I know the two type of trucks that won. The people's choice and the voters
the chose. Judges. I need to figure out how to be a judge next year.
Tacos.
I'm putting my name in. I saw some. I'm like, come on. I can be a judge.
Yeah, you should. I mean,
I'm Phil Bonatti.
Yeah, you know Johnny Bravo.
Exactly. I got to hit up Johnny. Hey, get me in that dugout judging area. You know, I am a very faithful, very true, unbiased opinion on anything I eat. I will keep it real, as the kids say, right? By the way, we're speaking about keeping it real. I'm sure you heard or I'm sure you saw that Journey is coming to the Save Mart Center. Journey is coming to the Save Mart Center, and we have some tickets to give away. We're going to give off a pair of tickets this week. Jorge, we're looking for the ninth caller that calls in this week in terms of it. And whoever calls in and gets the right call, talk about the Don't Stop Believing moment of the week for you in sports. What's a moment you felt like you did not stop believing, where you felt like I did not stop believing in my team? Give us the Don't Stop Believing moment, and you could win tickets to Journey in April at Save Mart Center. You just call the hotline, 559-320-1430. Could get some calls in the break. We could get some calls during the hour, but Jorge, we're running that. So whoever gives the best, the ninth caller who gives the best Don't Stop Believing moment, maybe we'll give him some tickets, hook him up.
All right.
You like your Journey?
Yeah.
I think we've played some. Have we played some Journey on this show?
I don't think we can.
Oh, well. Maybe we can stretch the rules just a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Who knows?
Maybe I'll find one that we can, and we'll see.
Maybe you find one. Exactly. All right. We are off and running, and Fresno State is hoping to be off and running here over this this next weekend here. They got a game coming up against Wyoming. So we already got one caller in. How about that? All right, Jorge, you want to take care of that real quick as I hear him coming in? But, yeah, we got a fantastic opportunity for the Bulldogs here coming up in this Saturday, a game against Wyoming. And the Bulldogs got three chances here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We have a winner for our Journey, Don't Stop Believing contest. Two tickets given to Paul from Fresno. Congrats to Paul from Fresno for calling in. He was our ninth caller over the break, so congrats to him. We'll do this again next, a little bit later. Listen in throughout the week. We're going to do another one of these, Jorge. So we'll have that. And Hopefully we'll get we'll pick a different number for the collar in terms of that. But congrats to Paul. You're going to Journey in April, the Final Frontier Tour at the Save Mart Center. Should be an awesome show. Awesome show. Journey, man. That's exciting. All right. We were talking about Fresno State, talking about the Mountain West results, all those things. I think I want to deep dive that maybe for tomorrow's show, just because we don't have a game to react to from this previous week. I don't really got much more to add from what we were talking about before, but I think we want to project forward and look at it in tomorrow's show. So I want to do NFL predominantly here now, NFL conversation and what things can look like moving forward. From yesterday's results, it's a reaction Monday, as we always do. There's a lot to talk about in terms of that. And we had a massive game in the NFC West from yesterday, at least in the implications. And actually, the entire NFC West was facing each other yesterday. And potential separation now between some teams here as we move forward into this later part of the season. And the Niners and the Rams faced off against each other on Sunday. And the Rams proving to be a formidable foe in this matchup, in this game, in this result. And what was the final score? 42-26 victory for the L.A. Rams in what was a very clinical offensive performance. Jorge, you want to hear a crazy stat? You want to hear a crazy stat from the Rams' perspective here?
Yeah, sure.
Matthew Stafford becoming the first quarterback in NFL history to throw four touchdown passes, zero INTs in three straight games. Four touchdown passes, zero. Wrap your head around that for a moment. Stafford doing that in three straight games. Remarkable, remarkable stuff right now. The Rams have won four straight. They've outscored their opponents by 82 points. It's the best point for differential in the 4-game span since 2017. And I have said this before. I think the Rams are the team I trust in the NFC, and I think they showcased it yesterday. I'm not saying the Niners are a bad team. The Niners are not. But from a Ram perspective, just to do that on that team, a team that knew you and saw you about 4 or 5 weeks ago on Thursday Night Football and beat you in your own house, the response from the Rams has got to be absolutely something Ram fans were very thrilled to see. And, I think this is setting up to be an awesome, awesome potential end of the season for the Rams. I would be betting on them to make a Super Bowl, but maybe I'd be betting maybe the team that's given a run over the money is the Seattle Seahawks side, who went up 35-0 before you could blink against the Arizona Cardinals, 44-22. Jorge, who are you more impressed with right now, the Rams or the Seahawks here at the top of the NFC West?
I feel like the Seahawks, I mean, coming in with a new quarterback, new system. A lot of people didn't know what was going on, you know. We knew who the Rams were, and we knew what they had. But the Seahawks were more of a question mark, you know. You didn't really know if they were going to be legitimate. And especially at the beginning when, you know, listening to the Niners and not really, you know, looking good at the first, but essentially finding their foot and you know, right now they're one of the best teams in the NFL.
Let's go to the Rams' perspective. By the way, here's another crazy stat for the Seahawks. You know, JSN is on pace to break Calvin Johnson's receiving yard record in a single season right now. On pace.
JSN?
Yeah, Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah. Okay.
He had 93 yards. He's at 1,000. First 1,000-yard receiver to hit that mark right now this season. He is 210 above anybody else in the National Football League, above Jamar Chase, who has 831. I know it's an extra game for JSN to break the record, and you're going to come qualify that real quick. But I get it. But that's remarkable stuff for a Seahawks receiver who is literally the only guy they seem to target, although they don't. You know, Torrey Horton has been phenomenal, the local kid from Fresno for this team as well. Cooper Kupp blew up yesterday. Man, I am having a hard time deciding who's better, Seattle or L.A. I'd give the shake to L.A. Seattle's defense looked crazy yesterday, too, in terms of it. So it's an interesting battle.
They definitely have a solid defense. Yeah. They have a solid defense that's been giving trouble to a lot of people. I think they finally found themselves in rhythm. I mean, anybody they face, they're going to be, you know, trouble.
Well, you know what's great, Jorge? You know what's great? The NFL gives everything. It always gives in terms of drama. And guess who sets up to play each other next week?
That rhymes in the sea.
Seattle and L.A. In L.A. next week in SoFi Stadium. Going to be a remarkable football game. Remarkable football game in terms of that. I cannot wait to watch it. I know the Benatti Blitz is tomorrow, but I might be hinting at what I'm talking about already. Is this the best offense for the Rams? Is this the best Rams offense in the McVay era? Think it is. What's hesitating? What do you think? You think 21 is still a better team?
I think he's got the better receivers. I think the better O-line was when they won the Super Bowl.
In 2021?
Yes. I think that's they had, you know, a solid receiver squad and just slightly better O-line. I know that, you know, right now it looks like, you know, Stafford has all the time in the world to throw, but when they got pressure, they've been a little bit, you know, you see the flaws in there, but yeah, I mean,
well, here's your stat.
You could argue that they are, but I just feel like the Super Bowl winning team was just had a lot more.
You want some stats to maybe back up my claim? Is this the best offense in the McVay era? He currently has a fifth overall in yardage, fifth overall in points, tenth overall rushing offense in terms of production, and a first overall in touchdowns on offense as well, second in passing yards. Only year that would rival this in terms of the statistical level of the rankings is 2018. The Jared Goff team that went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots 10-3 or 13-3, I remember. So, not since then have they ranked higher in the National Football League in terms of offense. Since then, here's the other qualifier for it: all of those great teams, all of the McVay teams, by the way, throughout all the years, none have had a top-tier defense in the NFL. The last 4 years, the Rams were a bottom 15, bottom half defense in terms of yardage given up and some other stuff. This year, they're seventh in yards given up this year. And points given up, they're 11th. They're second in points given up this year on defense. So, why am I so high on the Rams? It's because they're top five or they're top 10 in both sides of the ball right now, and I'm seeing the light in terms of where these Rams team can be and what it's capable of. Now Devontae got a little banged up yesterday, a little bit of a back thing. They said an oblique thing, but he said he could play if the game presented an opportunity that he needed to play some more. But clearly the Rams had things going well for them, but. Never have we seen in this era of Rams-McVay football have we seen both complementary pieces play very well. 2020, they were a top defense. But in 2020, their offense was 22nd in points scored. You know? So, it's going to be fascinating to watch where this all plays out in terms of this Rams team. Because this arguably could be the best Rams team we've seen under McVay, and there's one that won a Super Bowl. So, did I change your mind any slightly there, Jorge, with my case in presenting it?
No, not really. I still feel like other teams were better, slightly better, but
2021.
I'm not saying that this team's not good.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, you know, I just feel like those teams were just. I don't know. It just feels like they had something different.
What was it? Is it just Aaron Donald? Is it just simply just the players?
I guess Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Even the first time when they went to the Super Bowl, they lost. I think that team was, you know, had a lot. I don't know. It really did feel different. But I mean, this team's been dominating, so you know you can't count them out.
No, of course not. It's a fascinating group. It's a fascinating group in terms of it. And Stafford, of course, there's all the conversations right now about this team in terms of where this MVP conversation is going now. I am sitting here, and you're watching on the live stream on ESPN, Fresno's YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, and you see me wearing a Patriots hat. And even I can tell you, I think Matthew Stafford right now is the front runner for MVP. He would have my vote if I had one. Not Drake May right now at this moment. Stafford's been absolutely lights out insane. I read that stat before to you. Think about it again. 4 touchdown passes, 0 picks in the last 3 games. He's doing this, Jorge, at 37 years young. And he is looking the best he's ever looked. By the way, you know how many crappy Lions teams he's been on and toiling around, and those teams that weren't able to win football games? Jorge, he finally got to 500 in his career as a record.
I did see that. That was,
he finally did.
It was like four something and one.
To no fault of his own, just in the matter of the dude did everything he could, and finally he's climbed that mountain. And he has never won an MVP. I think this would absolutely cement him into potential elite status in the National Football League of a Super Bowl champ, potential 2-time Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, I think also this would carry on to be more likely to be in the Hall of Fame.
Stafford, the first quarterback in NFL history with 20 or more passing touchdowns and 0 picks in a 6-game span. That's what he's done his last 6 games. 20 touchdowns, 0 picks. Insane.
I think for a long time he was known as the guy with the stats, but nothing else.
Right.
Because the wins weren't there. Yeah, he threw for a bunch of yards. Yeah, he had Megatron for a long time. And, that helped him out. But at the same time, he wasn't winning anything.
You want to hear another crazy stuff? ESPN's got all the great stats and research in terms of it as well. All of Stafford's touchdown passes in the Niner game came against the Blitz. It's his 3rd game this season with 4 more touchdown passes against the Blitz specifically. No other quarterback has done that once this season. He is the only, he's done it 3 times. It's crazy. And guess who blitzes a lot? Seattle. Seattle blitzed 22 times on Jacoby Brissett on Sunday, which resulted in them just going absolutely crazy on defense. 35-0. DeMarcus Lawrence, 2 pick, scoop and scores.
I do believe, though, that Seattle has their talent in that line, defensive line, is a little bit better than the Niners is. So maybe they could, maybe it's a little bit different, or maybe not. I don't know.
Did you watch specifically the Niner game, or did you get turned?
No, I watched the Niner game. Yeah. Most of it until I started fixing my, or ruining my dryer.
Eye test wise, what was like the most impressive part of the Rams?
Oh, I wasn't watching the Rams.
You were only watching the Niner plays. Okay.
I'm gonna be real. I really wasn't watching the Rams. I was just like,
you're
afraid. I don't know what would have impressed me the most, because I was honestly trying to figure out. Trying to figure out how the Niners could come back. And how fast. Maybe this is what impressed me the most: how fast they went in there and just scored on the Niners.
Yeah, I had friends who saw 21-0 by first quarter's end, and they were like, "All right. Nice. My afternoon is freed up."
I knew they were going to come back. I felt that it was close enough that they could, make it a game. And essentially they did for some time until later on in the fourth where, it was kind of over by then.
What I'm talking about, though, we continue to evaluate the MVP. We were early on the Josh Allen conversation in terms of it. The MVP conversation is a strange one, because it feels like we're looking for someone to win MVP, as opposed to, I think Stafford's taking the MVP award. Like, he's going out and taking it in terms of it. And Drake May is a remarkable story. I don't think there's like, I think Stafford's the one that stands out in terms of, like, we remember when Josh Allen would just be Josh Allen last year, and we were like, yeah, he is taking that award and earning it for himself. And then there were some people, Lamar Jackson felt like, kind of came out of, the fray and made his presence known in terms of what he was doing, and the Baltimore Ravens were who they were last year. But Outside of Stafford, I don't think anybody – I mean, Baker Mayfield has regressed a little bit. I wasn't impressed in watching Baker play last week or yesterday. I watched the entire Patriots game. And I think it's time – is it an it's time Stafford wins conversation as well? Do you feel like he's a guy you feel like deserves to win an MVP at some point in his career too? Because I think there's a deserve point based off of way he played. Unless he absolutely implodes, I think and the Rams lose like four of their next six, I feel like it's money in the bag in terms of Stafford, his stature, the respect people have around the league, and I wonder if the voters are locked in the mindset of he's a guy who needs to win one.
Maybe. But I feel still too early to know if Stafford's, you know, if he's good enough.
Well, who's your short list? What's your short list of MVP guys right now? Certainly Josh Allen did not make headway yesterday.
No.
Drake May?
No.
Jonathan Taylor?
I kind of had him earlier, but no, I'm going to say no. No to that.
There's no one, right? What are we looking at?
It feels like a lot of people just...
We're not going to Daniel Jones, are we?
Yeah, Daniel, going on.
Are we doing that?
No.
Bo Nix, he's not been impressive, even at 8-2.
I think Bo Nix, I think he could be. I mean, if we're talking short list, I would put him on there in a short list. Why not?
I'm not. Darnold?
Yeah. Yeah, because the way he's handled it, and it feels like he's handled this better than mm-hmm. the other times where he's been a starter or come from the bench and been the guy that wins the
game. Could you say Sunday's game against the Seahawks and Rams could determine who wins the MVP this NFL season?
You know what? Mentioning it like that, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I think those two quarterbacks are going against two very difficult defenses. And they're going to fight for
it. It's going to be a bloodbath. I cannot wait Sunday. I cannot wait Sunday in terms of that. That's going to be fascinating. Fascinating stuff in terms of it. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up this hour. We're moving along here on this Reaction Monday. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN. November 10th, wrapping up hour number one. We got hour number two still to go before we send it out to Monday Night Football. Of course, we're at Me and Ed's Major Wager. Me and Ed's Victory Grill over by Metal Mark. You want to head over there and watch a fantastic game tonight. Jorge, we're going to be below freezing tonight in Green Bay. A little chill in the air tonight. We'll do some predictions of that game later on in the show. Let's do the injury report brought to you by Davis and Van Wagenen, Injury Law Firm. Of course, they're for you. Davis and Van Wagenen, go visit my friends today with any injury needs, and you've been needing that. Oh, they're the best in town in terms of representing you in terms of any injury situation for you. Get the coverage you need, the defense you need in terms of that. Let's go over some of the injuries from the weekend in terms of the National Football League. I'll start with Davante Adams, of course. We mentioned that from the previous segment, Rams receiver. You saw him catch a touchdown, Jorge. I don't know if you saw him. He caught a touchdown and he kind of landed awkwardly on a camera. There was like a camera set up, and I wonder if that was the inciting incident of him having some sort of...
Was it? No, I think that the one that the incident that happened was he took off and he tried to make a move.
Yeah.
And that's when it like...
He just tweaked it.
You just see him like stop and like hobble a little bit, and then yeah. He just went off.
Yeah, Coach McVay saying he could have potentially returned the game if the score was closer, but he's keeping Adams close to the vest. So now
I don't know if you saw, he actually was like about to go in the
kept
like,
him out,
and somebody just grabbed him and like hold him back and
yeah.
told him no.
I think he'll be fine next week. I think the Rams certainly would love to have him in full strength next week. Bleaks are tricky, man. If they we knew it from baseball, remember. The most notable oblique injury from baseball was George Springer's injury during the World Series. And sometimes it's just a grit through it kind of pain instead of any sort of structural stuff you could do to it. Once it's strained, it's strained. And who knows in terms of range of motion for Davante Adams. So we'll see where that turns out. Jackson Dart, concussion. And eventually, after being up 20-10 and coming out of the game, it appears that the Giants found a way to lose with Russell Wilson, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back, and Brian Daboll was fired in terms of that. So the Brian Daboll experience is over in New York. Fair or unfair, Jorge? Do you think that's fair or unfair to fire Brian Daboll after a game like that?
It's very fair.
Very
fair. And I don't think it's just that game. I think it's the two seasons that he's been there.
Three seasons.
Well, the last two.
Two and a half. Yeah,
has been, you know, real bad for him. So
he had the playoff run the first year, and everyone was ready to roll and crown him. And then last year was an absolute disaster. They draft Jackson Dart. There's been flashes. They beat the Eagles. You know, I think there's signs of some sort of something from that team. I found it a curious choice to let him go, honestly. I think it was a little too hasty. I would have really wanted to see maybe one full year of Dart, Neighbors, and what they had in terms of their young core.
I honestly believe that they let him go because he didn't put Jackson at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think everybody knew what they had and they saw. And he instead went with Russell, who, I mean, is capable of doing things, but at the same time, he's already got his, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Yeah. So he's setting his ways, and he's going to do what he's going to do.
What other notable injuries? Garrett Wilson had a knee injury, ruled out in Sunday's win over Cleveland for the New York Jets. Of course, short week. Knee situation. I wouldn't imagine Garrett Wilson could be ready to go for a Thursday night against the Patriots. So that'll be a tough sledding for New York in terms of that. Looking at some other report from the NFL injury side. Did you see a weird injury from Zay Jones from the Cardinals? Zay Jones yesterday in Seattle. I don't know if he totally tore his Achilles. But he didn't catch a ball. He looked like he was interfered with. He turns immediately and starts walking to the ref. And as he like turned and stepped forward, something, you know, the typical Achilles pop.
Yeah.
And then he was down.
Ouch.
Yeah. Freak kind of weird thing. So Zay Jones potentially out for the rest of the year in terms of that. And one final report, Brock Purdy, potential for starting in Week 11 against the Cardinals, said Kyle Shanahan after the game. We'll talk about that maybe with the Niners side of things. You're looking at me like, I'm like, why are you bringing this up again? I have people in my life who don't believe Brock Purdy will actually play another game this year for the 49ers. I don't know. I think it's time. Anyways. What other ones? We had Darius Slay ruled out after suffering a concussion in the first half against the Chargers. And, yeah, there you go. That's just some of the injury report side of things for the NFL side. Injury report, once again, brought to you by Davis and Van Wagenen, injury law firm here in Fresno. Be sure to stop by, my friends, today. You want to hear some odds, Super Bowl odds real quick, Jorge?
Sure.
10 weeks into the season, you want to guess who the favorite is to win the Super Bowl?
Favorite to win the Super Bowl.
It will surprise you.
I don't know. Go ahead.
The Kansas City Chiefs, who are 5-4, are still the favorite to win at +500 to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, I guess our biggest competition already faced them. And
they haven't come to New England.
Like I said.
Got to be the king. You got to beat the king, right? Do you want to guess number two?
Is it the Colts?
It's a team that won yesterday. It's not the Colts.
Eagles.
It is not the Eagles. The Colts are plus 1,100, by the way. They're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th best odds to win the Super Bowl this year, the Colts. You know, you're looking for your Detroit Lions at plus 750 right now. Same odds as the Eagles tonight, plus 750. The Rams are at plus 800. The Rams, who I should have probably just picked to win the Super Bowl at the start of the year, and I got too scared and I wanted to go Baltimore. The Rams are at plus 800. They're the fourth best odds. Seahawks at 850. The Bills are at plus 900. The Packers at 1,000, plus 1,000. The Ravens are 14-1, and the Broncos are 18-1. The Patriots are 18-1 to win the Super Bowl, Jorge. Out of those bottom five teams, I said, the Packers, who are 10-1, the Colts, who are 11-1, the Ravens, 14-1, Broncos, 18-1, Patriots, 18-1. Who would you bet on to win the Super Bowl from that crew?
Probably the Ravens.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I pick Patriots.
Yeah, sure.
Of course I do. Of course I do. All right. What do we got on the schedule coming up here, Jorge? Because we've got a... Oh, I want to make an announcement, by the way. I want to make an announcement about our Friday Night Lights game, which I can say right here on air. Because I think we finalized the details. And, folks, it's exciting. We're going to be back at it for another Friday Night broadcast, which is Friday Night Lights for the playoffs. It's going to be semifinals for Class 1AA. And we will be at La Monica Stadium on Friday, for Clovis versus Clovis West, 7 p.m. kick between those two teams. Me, Paul Metters, and Pat Hill will be on the call. So I know I joked, Jorge, this where I was like, it's going to be the exact same matchup at the exact same spot at the exact same time. Just the old ball coach will be on our airwaves. I don't know if I'm supposed to call him that, but
Was he there last time?
He was not there last time on Halloween.
Oh, that's right. It was Halloween, right? Right.
You don't need to play the spooky music again. You're having fun with it.
Yeah.
I was like, go crazy, Jorge, and you went crazy, let me tell you. I don't know if it was as fun as it was on our end for you.
I aim to please.
You aim to please. All right. Just a couple more minutes before we get to the end of this hour. You want to hear a This Day in Sports History real quick from ESPN as well?
Let's do it.
Johnny Manziel beating Alabama this day in 2012 in Tuscaloosa. En route to become the first freshman to win the Heisman Trophy. Man, were those years. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football.
Johnny Football years. Yeah. That was crazy. You seen that documentary, right?
Yep.
Man. The things he did.
The things he did and then the things he didn't, like not read his playbook or what other things? Just not caring about his time at Cleveland at all. Crazy stuff. All right. What do we got on the schedule tonight? We got, of course, Monday Night Football. Lakers pregame is already going right now.
Yeah,
do we
hear? It started a few minutes ago.
You hearing them? John Ireland and company? Lakers dropping an interesting one over the weekend, by the way, against Atlanta. They're in Charlotte tonight. Charlotte might be the most fun bad team out there this year. They might be the most fun bad team, so it could be an interesting matchup tonight.
Most fun bad team.
You like most fun bad team? Who's the most fun bad team in the NFL? I think it's got to be like Cincy.
Browns?
Cincy?
No,
the Browns aren't fun.
The Browns are
no,
fun.
I'm talking most bad fun. The Cardinals?
Probably the Cardinals, yeah.
I don't know. I think the Bengals. Or the Cowboys?
I don't know. The other day I said the Cowboys are good, so I don't know.
No, they're not good. They're just fun bad. There's
okay,
a difference.
I'll give you that.
Are your Niners fun bad?
No. Come on.
Are they unfun good? They're
Station
no fun.
Four.
Good. They're no fun good?
Yeah, probably.
Just like what's the opposite of fun? Boring? Or
they're not boring.
A dull.
I think they were boring at the beginning of the season because they couldn't score.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, yesterday everybody was scoring.
Hey, they figured it out. I actually texted one of my buddies. I'm like, hey, it's a one-possession game. He immediately turned it on, and the Rams did what they did.
Yeah.
And he cussed me out for it.
You shouldn't have said it.
I'm just a bastion of trying to get people to watch good football again. And clearly the Niners did not have the same agenda as I did. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, we got another hour. Who's been Audi? Who's been nice? We'll take you up to Monday Night Football next on 1430 ESPN. That's right. Hour number two of our show here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the behind the bench here. One more hour before we take you to Monday Night Football from Green Bay. The friendly confines of Lambeau Field should be a lot of fun. Should be an exciting atmosphere and matchup between the Packers and the Eagles. We'll dive into that later in this hour, but we're rolling along here on this Reaction Monday. We'll have a full show tomorrow to maybe dive deeper into everything that is surrounding the world of sports here and get you a full landscape in terms of it. But let's continue to kind of look back at what the results were. And one of my favorite segments we do on the weekly in terms of that is, of course, the Who's Benatti, Who's Been Nice of the weekend. And I want to do that here next. And Jorge, we got to decide where are we going to go first here on the Who's Benatti, Who's Been Nice part of this thing. Where do we want to start?
Let's go Benatti.
Who's been naughty? All right. Well, let's get the sad trombone effect for. That was loud. That was loud, aggressive. We're going to the Carolina Panthers here first. The Carolina Panthers, who I think are the biggest losers of the weekend in terms of the results and where things were and how things turned out. I think Carolina really blowing an opportunity to lose to the New Orleans Saints, who I don't think the Saints are trying to win football games. From this past weekend, but they allowed Tyler Shook to look like an actual guy who could potentially be somebody moving forward for the Saints. You want to hear something crazy? Tyler Shook, that was a rookie quarterback's first win for the Saints since Dave Wilson in 1981. Longest active streak without a win by a rookie quarterback in the National Football League. I think Bryce Young looked pretty rough in terms of the game. I saw some of the replay in terms of it. That's the Panthers, by the way. 11th straight loss when they're a favorite in a football game, extending the longest losing streak by anybody in the Super Bowl era. Jorge, we're talking all the way back to 1960s when we had betting lines. The Panthers have lost 11 straight games as a favorite. Panther fans are saying, don't think about us. Don't look at us. And the world was looking at them to win a game. Boy, blown opportunity on Sunday. I think it was the worst loss of the weekend.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I compare it to Arizona's, but I feel like coming from them because they were in such
a poor training. Seattle. And Seattle's a good team.
Yeah, but, yeah, no, I'm saying it's, Carolina was in such a upward training, momentum that just falling like that is... It's kind of bad.
Not since the 1979 to 1981 Seahawks have the Panthers lost more as a favorite. The Seahawks back then in the 70s and 80s, 9 straight games. The Falcons in 15 and 16, 8 straight games as a favorite in 2015, 2016. Crazy stuff. All right, let's go to who has been nice, and let's go. Let's give an applause to... I'm giving an applause specifically to DeMarcus Lawrence of the Seattle Seahawks. How about him being a guy who returned 2 fumble touchdowns? Not just 1, but 2. I thought there was a glitch in my scoring system when I saw that was going on when I was looking at the scores earlier on Sunday. Jorge, he is the 4th NFL player in history with multiple fumble return touchdowns in a single game. I bet you wouldn't get the other 3. Because 1 happened in 1920 from the Akron Pros. Yeah, I know you've been following some Akron Pros football when Al Nasser scoop and scored 3 different times in a game for the Akron Pros in 1920.
Al Nasser.
How about the 1948 Bears? You locked in on the 1948 Bears? How about Fred Evans with 2 scoop and scores?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, and then this other one. 2020. It happened in 2020. I don't think you'll get this guy. Played for the Carolina Panthers in 2020. Jeremy Chinn with 2 scoop and scores in a single game. DeMarcus Lawrence now sits in that club with Al Nasser, Fred Evans, and Jeremy Chinn. Insane stat. 2 scoop and scores. I actually, you know what's funny, Jorge? Because I was talking to Coach Entz earlier today. And I asked him a question about total side here. Jason Jacks, Jason Jacks for the Fresno State. He leads the nation in 4 fumbles recovery right now in the nation in college football. He stands alone And I asked him, I'm like, is that lucky or is that good? He's like, well, it tells me he's around the ball a lot, and that's good. So I think that's something that you can take into account.
Maybe
for
lucky good?
He's like, no, he poo-pooed the luck. I tried to make it a little funny in terms of that question. I think when you're around the football and you're capable of scooping and scoring and finding different ways, I think certainly you can show that you are a top-tier defender. DeMarcus Lawrence, good on you. Great performance from you. We go to an Exponati here, Jorge. Let's go to an Exponati. How about that performance from Aaron Rodgers? I'm going right to him. Right to Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football. That game would have put anybody to sleep. Chargers and Steelers last night. 25-10, the Chargers winning. It was 5-3 at one point right before the half.
Very defensive game.
Yeah.
Very defensive.
Yeah. Rodgers very much struggled. 16 for 31, 161 passing yards. He did have a passing touchdown, but he only completed 51% of his throws. He had two picks. His completion percentage is the worst in a game in over five seasons, over the last five seasons. This is his third game with multi-interceptions this season, which is tied for the most in a season in his career. He had it in 2024 and 2010. So Rodgers is clearly not up to the Aaron Rodgers standard. Did you hear what Mike Tomlin, when asked what was his assessment of Aaron Rodgers' performance? Mike Tomlin said, "What do you think?" and then just stared at the reporter. I don't know what that means, but I'm getting a sense that there is a the honeymoon phase is over between Coach and Rodgers from last night.
I just, man, I feel like Rodgers can do more. He wants to do more, but he just physically can't. You could tell it's over for him.
You want to hear? You want to guess how many times the Chargers blitzed Aaron Rodgers last night?
How many times they blitzed?
They blitzed him.
I don't know. Is it more than 10?
Zero. Zero times they blitzed Aaron Rodgers, and he struggled with a 51.6% completion percentage. You know, that's his first start in his NFL career. He did not face at least one blitz in a game.
Well,
what?
I mean, I just feel like, I don't know. It's
the way to play.
Yeah.
He can't move around, right? He's 40 what, 41 years old? He's running around.
You can still throw it, but he's so slow.
Yeah, he's got nothing. He's got nothing left in terms of it. And I think there's a panic mode for the Steelers right now, who, by the way, still two games against the Ravens, and they're only one game up on Baltimore. More and more likely, it feels like the Baltimore Ravens are going to bring back their season for the dead. No thanks to the Steelers being absolutely inept on offense and Aaron Rodgers just being absolutely inept on the offensive side of the football as well. Let's go to my next Ben Ice, and we are handing one out to a running back in Berlin. How about Jonathan Taylor, Jorge? Jonathan Taylor, who nearly had a 50-point fantasy day. Did you hear this crazy stuff? 32 rushes, 244 on the ground, three touchdowns, including that massive 83-yard touchdown run, which, to my understanding, is the longest? Yeah, it's the longest touchdown run in Colts history. Considering what they've had in terms of running backs, Edgerrin James, Marshall Faulk, to name a few, that is the longest touchdown run in Colts history, 83 yards to give the Colts the lead yesterday in Berlin. I literally turned on the game as that play was developing, and so I got basically the Cliff Note version of the game in Berlin, but it sounded like Jonathan Taylor once again had an awesome, massive game for this Indianapolis side, and he is, if you're going to look for a quarterback to not win the MVP, he is your front runner in terms of the non-quarterback. He certainly will be Offensive Player of the Year. I don't have any doubt about that as long as he stays healthy, but it is crazy to see Jonathan Taylor back to what he has been. You know, he hasn't been like this in the last couple of years, and so an amazing performance all and around. By the way, Jonathan Taylor, 66 career rushing touchdowns. He did pass Edgerrin James for most in Colts history now. So Jonathan Taylor, maybe the most prolific Colts running back at this point. His third career game with 200 rush yards, at least two touchdowns. It ties Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and LaDainian Tomlinson for second in most NFL history. You want to guess who has the most in NFL history? Most games with 200 rush yards and at least two touchdowns, Jorge? Like, I know it's not trivia hour, but I'm giving you one more trivia shot. Who has the most 200-yard rushing games with two touchdowns?
200 yards with two touchdowns? LT?
No, LT's tied with JT, Jonathan Taylor. I already said that.
Oh, Let me see.
He's still in the NFL.
He's still in the NFL? As a player?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know.
Derrick Henry.
Oh, okay.
Derrick Henry has the most. With six. Two times more than anybody else in terms of that. But Jonathan Taylor, amazing. Did you watch any of the Berlin, or did you wake up for the Berlin game?
I did not watch the Berlin game at all.
Yeah. It's fine.
I saw some highlights, but... Nah.
The Falcons are inept. I'll tell you that. The Falcons are a mess. They played tight, but they're a mess. They feel like they're much better than what their record should indicate in terms of that. So I got some gripes with the Falcons. Supposedly we have a Monday night to end the year with the Rams and the Falcons in terms of that as well. All right, let's go to my next Benatti, my final Benatti. Goes to those Buffalo Bills, Jorge. I think we just put the onus on all of them in terms of the way they performed on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Jorge, I want you to go back to the memory bank real quick. I don't know if you remember. I think I said something about it could be a Devon Achan weird, you know, suddenly the Dolphins are up 16 to something or whatever, and they're going to find a way to win. I remember saying that. I remember saying that, Jorge, and look at what happened. I didn't call it, though. I should have called it. Honestly, I need to just start calling these upsets. I should just say it. Be bold out here.
Be super bold out here.
I'll put the onus on me in terms of that. But let's be honest. The Dolphins doing what they did to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo fandom, by the way, is just losing its mind on Twitter. Jorge, I'm being spoon-fed Buffalo Bill fans that want to move the team to Canada. They want to fire sell everything. They want to say, trust the process no more. They want everybody gone. They want everybody fired. It's over. Buffalo Bills season's over. The whole ride is done.
Well, yeah, I kind of mentioned it the other day that usually northern teams don't do well in Florida.
Yeah. And, I remember that.
I don't know what it is. Maybe they water down there. I don't know. But they have had trouble. I mean, you guys, your Patriots did well, but it was a tough game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not an easy win.
First time the Dolphins beat a team over 500 since they beat the Cowboys 2 years ago on Christmas Eve.
Over 500?
Over 500.
Wow.
The first time they beat a team that's over 500. Since they beat Dallas on Christmas Eve in 2023.
Jesus.
That's crazy. Devon Achane, 174 yards rushing, 51 yards receiving, two rushing touchdowns. And, he is a bright spot. He is, if anybody needs a running back, Devon Achane, man, he is what the Dolphins need in terms of some guy like that. But I don't believe he is sustainable in a Dolphins uniform. I think certainly other teams could definitely use him. In a different space. So, obviously, Joe, I was wondering what Joe's feelings were about that game, and Joe kind of nothinged it. I thought he would be a little more reactive today.
He wasn't happy with it?
I don't think he was happy with the win.
I would have been in his shoes, I would have been super happy.
Yeah. To at least beat the Bills?
Beat somebody?
Yeah. All right. Next been nice. How about Davis Mills and the Houston Texans? My last been ice. And it goes to the Texans quarterback who orchestrates one of the crazier comebacks of the league this past Sunday. We're not allowed to bring up the Jags game in front of Asa tomorrow. Could be considered top five Jags loss ever, maybe. And I want his health and well-being to be at the forefront of our discussion of sports tomorrow. But outside of that, the Texans trailed by 19 entering the fourth quarter. They were 0-76 all-time as a franchise in those kind of games, including the playoffs. And guess what? Here comes the comeback. They end up beating them 36-29. It wasn't even like that big of a beating, too, because the Texans had a 30-29 lead. And Jorge, there was a legitimate moment at one point where I thought, oh, well, Jacksonville still has a chance because they have that Cam Little guy who ends up kicking a 68-yarder at the end of the game. That I thought, oh, my goodness, maybe they are, maybe they have a chance to just get to the midfield and kick a field goal and go win this game anyway. Like, I thought we were getting 70 yards for the win. And, no, the Texans defense showed up massively in the fourth quarter. And Davis Mills, 292 passing yards, two touchdowns, one INT, and just hurtling his body like Ralphie in Simpsons yeah. towards a pylon to score and take the lead for the Houston Texans. Guts from the backup quarterback. When the Texans, I think, needed to avoid dropping the 3-6, they go to 4-5 now. And now there's like an actual conversation maybe that the Texans could get into possible playoff conversations moving forward with that win over Jacksonville.
Yeah, this is that team that you thought were not good, but then all of a sudden they show you that, you know, they got talent and they work well, but at the same time, they're not that good.
Yeah. By the way, shocking, by the way, here a stat. Danielle Hunter, 3.5 sacks in this, tied for second in a game in franchise history. You'll never guess who leads the Texans in terms of sacks in a single game. It's not the guy you think it is.
And it's not J.J.?
It's not J.J. There's one player who had 4 sacks for the Texans in a single game. And it's not J.J. Watt.
Mario?
No, not Mario Williams. Connor Barwin. I remember Connor Barwin.
Wasn't he a USC guy?
Maybe. 2011, Connor Barwin. I think you're thinking of Cushing. Brian Cushing was a USC guy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Always, I remember Brian Cushing being like an all-time linebacker guy. Always got hurt, but I was like, that dude is a maniac.
Yeah, and also the stuff he was taking.
Yeah, a little bit. And maybe why he's not in the NFL anymore. All right. There's my Benatti. There's my Benice. And there it is for you for this week 10. We're past week 10, almost past week 10. Crazy as we roll through the NFL season. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, we break down the Niners' perspective from that game yesterday. We've got a lot to discuss of where the Niners go from here and what they got to do against Arizona next week. So let's take a break. When we come back, we do that. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN. On the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Here on this Monday afternoon and evening, we're getting close to Monday Night Football. Before we talk about Monday night's game, we got to talk about Sunday again. And from the Niners' perspective, of course, this is kind of our big breakdown of that from this weekend. Of course, the 49ers falling victim to a 42-26 loss to the L.A. Rams. And I kind of projected it as that possibility that the Niners would lose this game. It's going to be tough sledding, I would say, to see the 49ers maybe winning this division anymore based off of where Seattle is, based off of where the L.A. Rams are. They're a game and a half back, but considering what the tiebreakers potentially are and where the NFL season is going in terms of the scores and how the Niners are battling the injuries, Jorge, what's your the percentage chance that the Niners win the division still, you're the eternal optimist, and even I feel like you can't give me a good number here to convince you otherwise.
Convince me that
the Niners are going to win the division.
Like, I mean,
percentage chance.
I mean, we beat Arizona, and we go to Seattle. And
they're still down. Well, Arizona's below you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now you're tied with the Rams. Yeah, you had the Seattle win. But I just don't know if there's a world where you leapfrog the Rams now after a loss. You're a game and a half back of the Rams now, soon to be two, because of a bye that you're going to have to just eventually, you know, teams are going to make up the opportunity for it. But I don't see there's a world where the Niners win a division here.
I mean, we got, what, 3 games next and before a bye?
You know.
Against?
You had Arizona. I would not say that's a cakewalk. I'm not saying that's a cakewalk at all. Things, weird things. I've seen Trey Lance come in a game and everyone thought they were going to win, and then something happened in Arizona. It was bad. I've seen some bad Niner losses in Arizona the last few years.
Trey Lance?
Yeah. Jimmy G losing it in 2020. Or who was it after Jimmy G? Regardless, Niners don't particularly play the best in Arizona. They lost last year in a meaningless throwaway game in Arizona. It didn't really matter. But they got Carolina on a Monday night. You can beat that. Can you beat Cleveland? That's the number one thing I think is on my mind. Can you beat Cleveland? I think these next 3 weeks are expected wins for the Niners, but it's not anything given. It's the National Football League. You get to 9-4 by the bye there, Jorge. Then maybe you're sitting.
I feel like we win two out of the three, we'll be fine.
Then you got the Titans. You can beat the Titans. And then it gets tough. You're in Indy on a Monday night. You're home Chicago. And then you're home Seattle.
Chicago's that team that's good, but it's bad.
That's Sunday Night Football, by the way.
A Chicago game?
Mm-hmm. In Santa Clara, though. Who would have thought? Schedule makers, by the way. Who would have thought Niners-Colts would absolutely be relevant in Week 16 of the National Football League on Monday Night Football?
Not this guy.
You were like, looking at the schedule, like, I guess we can be on Monday Night Football on a Monday. I was like, that's going to flex out.
So at the beginning of the season, I was like, wow, this is a great, mm-hmm. This is great. All these teams don't look good.
How hapless does this Niner defense feel in terms of what it's looking like right now moving forward? Because I think the Niners have, I don't know if they have answers for the elite offenses in the National Football League. And the good thing is that they're not playing the elite offenses for a while now. Like, let's look at the schedule again. What offense is scaring you down the stretch? The Cardinals? Not particularly.
Not really,
no. The Panthers? No, not really. Nah, Cleveland? No. Not an elite offense, to say the least. Titans? No. Right?
Nope.
The Colts are an elite offense.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor's doing things nobody's seen.
Sure.
That's elite. The Bears, not an elite offense.
No.
And the Seahawks are an elite offense.
I feel like if you put pressure on Caleb Williams, I don't think he'll make the decision there.
How helpless does this Niner defense feel? Like, do we feel like this Niner defense is played out, is one that can't improve? Are there schematic things that are issues for this Niners defense moving forward, or is it just a personnel issue?
I think they're good. They're definitely not an elite defense, but
Just a bad day?
I think it was a combination of a bad day, but there's one crucial thing that I've been watching, that there's no turnovers. They don't win any turnovers.
They don't force any.
They don't force any turnovers. You know, like at the beginning of the season, they might have, that guy would, I can't remember his name, who punched the ball. But they don't, it doesn't seem like they don't get in front of the ball. And, we got, one interception the whole season or something like that. Or two interceptions, I can't
something
remember.
Something really
But it's not good. And you have to get turnovers or at least cause turnovers in order to, get better chances on defense.
Outside of the historically horrible New York Jets, who, by the way, the Jets are still without a turnover. An interception. The Jets are the only team without an interception. The Niners are still the only team with one interception on the entire year from the defense. The Niners are second worst in the National Football League in terms of interceptions. They are the fifth worst in terms of total turnovers. They're tied actually with the Eagles, which is fascinating in terms of turnovers generated. However, the Eagles have played two less games than the 49ers, so go figure there. Maybe the Eagles force a couple tonight.
And if you look at the game this past Sunday, that first turnover was huge.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then the second turnover, the one later on, the interception, basically closed out the game.
Who's the worst in turnover differential? Like if you look at the stats of turnover differential right now, it is astounding that the Niners have a winning record down with the teams that they're down with. In terms of turnover, Niners have the second worst turnover differential in the National Football League, Jorge. Here are the teams around the 49ers right now. I'm going to find me a winning team around this team that has a winning record right now. The Jets, no. The Vikings are just above the Niners. These are teams all above the Niners right now. The Vikings, the Dolphins, losing team. Commanders, losing team. Bengals, losing team. Panthers, losing team. Hello, Seattle. Seattle's down here for some reason. Seattle's got a minus four, but Sam Darnold just inexplicably, when they're beating the crap out of people, turns the ball over and wants to just keep the teams in it. Seattle's a little loosey-goosey with the football, but usually when they're up like 20. Seattle plays like I play in Madden or any of the video games. Like, I'm up for a little bit, and then suddenly I just want to get more. And I like to throw the interception sometimes.
You want to make it interesting?
Just making it a little interesting, Seattle. Let's continue the trend of other teams that are around with a losing record. The Giants are there. The Raiders come next. Then Denver out of 8-2. Denver's down there. It's crazy. Dallas, a losing team. Titans, a losing team. Saints, a losing team. Then my New England Patriots before we get to the winning teams in terms of it. It's astounding. The crazy statistical difference between the Niners, who are 6-4, and where they are, frankly feeling lucky. Do you feel lucky that the Niners are 6-4? Because frankly, I feel like the Niners have to feel like they're lucky to be 6-4 at this point, with how horrible the turnover differential is, with how horrible the defense has been this NFL season as well. It's frankly, they should be counting their lucky stars. They're 6-4 at this moment.
I think there were a couple games at the beginning where it was lucky luck. Well, not even now. I wouldn't say that. No. It's not that they're lucky, because they all work for their wins. Like, the defense, you know, works for the wins. It's not like they're,
well,
you
know, it's because their offense is carrying them right now, right?
Sometimes. I mean, what was the game that against a couple of weeks ago?
You know, the Niners are the number one passing offense yards per game right now in the National Football League?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't, you know, if he didn't have 3-4 losses, Mac Jones would be MVP.
Now that's a funny statement. No, not to you. Just the idea.
Think about it.
I am in the world in a universe in 2025.
Think about it. Mac Jones could be MVP.
Could be MVP is an insane sentence, and I love it.
I mean,
because I lost my mind watching.
He has that amount. That's those stats.
If you're saying Mac Jones is playing at an MVP level, are you wanting to turn to Purdy at any point? Like, are you feeling Mac Jones deserves to see out this season?
Tom Brady said it best yesterday. Go with the one who has a hot hand.
Yeah.
Got to go with the one that has a hot hand.
Is Purdy earning that? But doesn't Purdy earning what he earned before afford him to see his ability of playing on the field seen out by Kyle? He deserves that opportunity, even if Mac Jones is...
Is Purdy 100% yet?
That's the million-dollar question. It's the whatever million dollars that he's being paid question.
If you don't see him as 100%, then I'm not going to put him out there. Especially the way that Mac Jones is playing.
Yeah, I'm not blaming the Niners' offense yesterday. Slow start. You can't slow start against the Rams. But let's be fair, they played where they gave a good effort in coming back into the game a little bit, right? There was a moment where you're like, you had a moment where you're like, the Niners could come back here.
Yeah, right after the halftime.
Yeah.
Right after halftime, because I saw it, you know, it was 21-14, and I'm thinking, you know, just get the stop. And you could tell the defense, and then the level of the defense is not as high as it once was, or at the beginning of the season was. And it's just, there's less pressure, or when there is pressure, they're not beating their guy, you know? And that's just talent. You can't just go get it from the street. Like, you know, you have to look for it, and sometimes it's not there.
Does it concern you that once again, it's Brian Robinson that's the leading rusher for the Niners again? It's not Christian McCaffrey, leading rusher. And he's not even leading receiver again now for the 49ers. And the usage of McCaffrey is you know, just a little bit lacking in these games?
I wouldn't say lacking. I mean, he's getting first downs. He's getting yards. He's moving the ball forward. I mean, in the second touchdown, in the second drive, or the drive for the second touchdown, I mean, he had, you know, plenty of opportunities in the running game.
2.5 yards per carry, though. Like, 12 rushes, 30 yards, 2.5 per carry is like...
Who do they face? I mean, one of the toughest defenses.
Well, that fourth down, too, that he didn't get. There was a crucial fourth down, I think, right? He was coming around the edge, and the Rams just absolutely snuffed it out. That was the first time I saw McCaffrey get beat to an edge and actually tackled behind the line.
Yeah, that was...
That was alarming.
I think that was a bad play. I think it
delayed a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think it... I don't know if they weren't ready for it, or they shouldn't have run that play at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just... To me, it seemed like going to the side instead of going in the middle. Like, three times they went through the middle and got the first down, so... Now you want to go to the side where, you know, those guys, the edges are faster, and they're getting there.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious with the Niners, like, what they face in terms of the defensive side.
I just think you can't, he's a running back, but right now McCaffrey's doing a lot more than just being a running back.
8 for 66 in the air. Like, it's not nothing, but it's also, like, it's just not, the run game, which has been such predicated on what Kyle Shanahan's offense has been, where he's the innovator of running back. He pulled running backs off the street, Raheem Mostert, right? And who are some of the other? Jeff Wilson, of names of note, in terms of those guys being legit guys who made Super Bowls. You've turned them into nothing, and they get McCaffrey here, and McCaffrey's doing less numbers than what, you know, those guys were able to do. That's, I think, the frustrating part, I think, maybe for some Niner fans right now, is that I think the run game, Kyle's been all about the scheme, right? Everybody thinks about the innovator, Kyle Shanahan, Sky, you know, all that kind of stuff, and it's just like not innovating anymore. And it's like you have a much more talented player than Raheem Mostert, than Jeff Wilson, and all those guys.
I also think that he had a better O-line in those first years that he was there. He had more weapons in the offense that, you know, people weren't just worried about McCaffrey running it. They were worried about, man, If Debo runs it or if this other guy gets it, you know, it wasn't just McCaffrey, but right now it's easier to go against McCaffrey because then you have, Kendrick Bourne to worry about.
Well, maybe then are you frustrated as a Niner fan who sits here and says, well, okay, our offensive line was so horrible. Did we know it was horrible coming in? Like, and why do we spend
money? I didn't say it was horrible. I just said that it's not the same as it was when
it's been horrible. Let's be frank. It's been horrible.
I didn't say it.
I'm saying it. I'm going to say it.
But, I mean, yeah, of course. Of course I'm frustrated. But I knew that this, just like last season, it was these two seasons weren't going to be that great of seasons just because of the way that they would, you know, that the whole money and everything was coming down.
I think they could have spent it on the draft, but of course they go defense again, and of course the player they drafted in the first round, and they go defensive lineman there again, and one's out for the season, and one had an awesome play and won a game. So maybe it yields in that way. I'm not criticizing it there, but I think there's got to be priorities for the 49ers moving forward. I think there is some serious, serious looks at where the line is standing and where it needs to be and what they need to do, because
I see it, and I know we are struggling in some parts, but it's not like we're, you know, just a horrible team. We're 6-4.
Yeah, that's the NFL. That's the beauty of the NFL. You win the games, and the, you know, what your record is what your record is in the National Football League, and that's where you're judged on. You know, maybe the Giants had better stats, but they're firing their coach today. You know, that's just the story of it. They lost dumb games in dumb fashions. And Kyle Shanahan's finding ways to win. I wonder if the magic's out, but the season does open up. The schedule does open up for the Niners just a little bit here. And let's be fair. I'm not trying to kill him after losing to what I think will be maybe the Super Bowl champ at the end of the year by that way as well.
Oh.
So let's take a break and let's wrap up the show next and talk about this upcoming Monday night game next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. 1530 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, wrapping up our show here. A reminder, of course, coming up on 1430, Monday Night Football between the Eagles and the Packers from Lambeau. Over on 790 right now, the Hornets are up 50-46 over the Los Angeles Lakers. 7 minutes to go in the second quarter, Jorge, by the way. How about 76 combined points in the first quarter between 2 points? Jorge, it might be first to, like, 160 tonight between these two teams. Hornets 3-6, Lakers 7-3. Lakers avoiding to go back-to-back losses on this little East Coast swing before they head into a massive game on Wednesday, by the way. They play the Thunder in OKC. The Thunder lost yet? Did the Thunder lose?
I think so, yeah. But what?
Yeah, they did. They lost last Wednesday to the Blazers. They've lost a game, yes. They're 10-1 right now. We're not going to talk about my Warriors. And we're definitely not going to talk about your Kings in terms of it.
Why not? I'd love to talk about them.
You want to talk about Kings? A little Kings take real quick? What do you got?
So they lit the beam the other day. That was cool.
They lit the beam? It's cool. It'd be cool if they did a lot more, right?
That'd be a lot cooler.
Jorge, I'm putting you on the spot real quick before I get into our daily spread. Saw some MLS action move forward. We got semifinals now. Is this like a strict bracket now? Like,
yeah, it's straight. It's pretty
so
much
there's no third
weird game.
It's do yet. Or die.
Yeah.
Got it. So Vancouver and LAFC on next
California teams.
Two Saturdays from now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Then on Sunday, you've got Cincinnati and Inter Miami.
Inter Miami scored 4 goals.
Yeah, they beat Nashville pretty significantly. Yeah, pretty significantly. How about San Diego FC advancing over Portland, beating they play Minnesota on Monday. Minnesota won on a red card and won in PKs over Seattle. That game sounded ridiculous.
Seattle should have had that game.
Yeah.
Of course. I don't know how Minnesota won it. Like, honestly.
On the road, down a man, on PKs, they lose. Or you win.
Well, I guess that's the craziness about PKs, that anything can happen, really.
Yeah. And then Philadelphia's taking down New York. Philadelphia, well, they moved on.
That is, what do they call it, a derby? Well, not a derby because they're not from the same city, but I would call it a classico because they don't really like each other.
No?
Good rivalry. Philly and New York, yeah.
If you had to bet, is it LAFC is the win?
I would put my money on San Diego.
San Diego?
They are a newer team.
They got
a
win in Minnesota.
I'm telling you, I don't know how Minnesota got there.
It's chilly there.
Yeah, but they, yeah, I don't know.
I've been to that stadium.
I think it's
like Allianz Field or something like that. Yeah. It's a cool little park up there.
Yeah, they got
what do they call it? Pitch.
Yeah, the pitch.
The pitch. The pitch. All right, let's do our daily spread brought to you by Chukchansey Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, drive up the mountain. Try your luck at Chukchansey Gold and Resort and Casino today. Jorge, the Eagles take on the Packers. Both teams, 2 losses in the loss column. Eagles are 6-2. Packers 5-2-1. Eagles are coming off of a bye and beating, I think, the New York Giants 2 weeks ago. I think that's their last game they played. And the Packers are coming off of, I would say, from what I heard, specifically from the Packer fans I watched this game with, the worst loss of the season to the Carolina Panthers at Lambeau last week, and an offensive ineptitude of epic proportions. Can the Packers bounce back and beat the Eagles tonight? The Packers are a 1.5-point underdog at Lambeau Field. People love the Eagles tonight coming off the bye. Fascinating game. Could mean a lot in terms of the NFC playoff pictures. The Packers could really change perspective again if they went tonight and beat Philly and get up to 6-2-1. Philly would go just 6-3. What is your take on tonight's game?
This entire season has been one of those, are they good?
Question
mark?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the Packers. At first, I thought the Packers were one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, thinking, like, look, they got, you know, really good players. I think they're going to go far. all of a sudden they lose.
They won three of their last four, though.
And then they lose to Carolina.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I mean, you could say the same about Philly losing to the Giants.
Or the Bills losing to Miami.
Yeah, like everybody's got one.
Yeah, true. I don't know.
I kind of like the Packers tonight. I think the Packers are an interesting team in terms of just they find it in some, you know, in the primetime games, per se. And it's going to mean a lot in terms of it. By the way, Jalen Hurts, when the freezing temperatures are at kickoff, which is expected to be that situation right now, 0-2, and he has a QBR of 59, and his NFL career started, which is fascinating to me that Jalen Hurts, when they have freezing temperatures at kickoff. Jordan Love, freezing temperatures at kickoff, 3 starts, including playoffs, 5 and, I read this wrong, I'm sorry. That's not the record. Jalen Hurts has 2 starts in freezing temperatures, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. There we go. That's what it was. Jordan Love has 3 starts of freezing temperatures at kickoff, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So Jordan Love significantly better in the frozen temperatures tonight as opposed to Hurts, who sometimes struggles, including, we remember the Rams game last year. He wasn't lighting it up. It was the Saquon Barkley game in terms of it. I do look for maybe a run-heavy attack for the Eagles tonight. The running game can be an issue for the defense of the Packers in this game and negates Micah Parsons in that sense. I think I'll go Philly. I think I'd be more interested in the Packers winning tonight, but I think I will pick Philly to win on the road. I don't feel great about it, though. Where are you at?
I'm going to go ahead and just pick, the Green Bay because they're home. I think that and the, you know, what you just mentioned about being in the cold and playing in the cold, I think that gives an advantage to them. Not a lot, but I think, you know, it's going to be a close game. But, yeah, the Green Bay's going to take it.
By the way, Jalen Hurts going for Monday Night Football history tonight. If he scores a touchdown, he'll have the most Monday Night games in a row scoring a rushing touchdown in NFL history.
I feel like they've been in a lot of Monday Night Football.
He has rushed for a touchdown in 6 straight. He will go for his 7th wow. straight tonight.
Well,
you know the other 4 guys with 6 straight touchdowns on Monday Night Football games? Steven Jackson, love him. LaDainian Tomlinson, Emmitt Smith, and John Riggins of the Washington.
Steven Jackson of the Rams?
Yes, Steven Jackson. Okay. That's Steven Jackson of the then St. Louis Rams in terms of that. You said Packers, you said Eagles.
I have Packers.
You have Packers tonight.
Right. Yeah.
Jordan Love needs one. I think he really needs one tonight. That was a rough. That was I was on him last week. It was rough, like one of the worst throws I'd seen in quite some time on that fourth down play. There really has to be, I think, a lot to. Jordan Love has been a guy who I think we've all been waiting to see where he leaps out of as far as a caliber of a talent. Everyone has the stat right. All the Packer quarterbacks who won a Super Bowl won it at the age 27. Jordan Love is 27 this year. So everyone's waiting for the prophecy to be fulfilled in terms of that. I just don't know. I just don't trust this Packers team. It's so strange. And yet they're going to come out here tonight, and I bet you they're just going to find a way. They're going to find a way because it's the Eagles who are a head case and it's the Packers who are a head case. So it's going to be interesting. All right, Jorge. Good job by you today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, great
happy,
show.
Happy early Veterans Day to you.
Thank you.
Veterans Appreciate Day that. Tomorrow. We'll try to get you on. I know the other guys are on, but we'll try to get you on for a segment. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Monday Night Football next on 1430 ESPN.